All right, guys. Welcome to Saturday Night Service, Plaid Tidings. Everybody doing good this Christmas season? Feeling good for the most part? I can't believe it's almost here. And so it's funny because we're always so excited about it, and it's gone in like 2 hours. We eat, we fall asleep, maybe watch a movie. Some people go at night and they go watch movies, but then we're back to the hustle and bustle of life again. But I just want to encourage you, having it ready, to take some time just to relax and just enjoy the season. Go see some lights. It's amazing what lights do. Anybody, have you seen some good light season? Just people just decorating. They go all out just in decorating. I know even in our neighborhood, we have a Santa hanging from the balcony. It's just some crazy stuff. And it's about the Christmas season. And it's funny because we've talked about during the season how the whole focus is really on Jesus, whether or not people think it is or not. And it's set up that way, and I believe God sets it up that way so that we can all focus on this one time here to make Jesus a priority. And when we say he is really the reason for the season, for it to mean he is the reason for the season. And it doesn't mean it has to end after December 25th. On December 26th, as we turn in the new year, the goal is that you keep him as a priority the rest of the year. And as we talked about in the series, the gift is waiting. It's always there waiting. The Bible says that he came for us and that he sits. The Bible says as we draw near to him, he draws near to us. And so God's a good father. And like many of you in here who are fathers or maybe your mothers, isn't it great when your kids come up to you and they just say they love you just for no reason whatsoever? Not because they want anything, but just because you're dad or your mom. And one of the things that I think God wants us to see during this Christmas season is that he is a good father. And not only does he want to give good gifts to his kids, he just wants to hang out with his kids. And he wants you to see just the magnitude of what that gift is like and really what it's all about. And maybe you're here this Christmas season and you're dealing with a lot of stress and anxiety is like at the top of your list. And when I look at the fruit of the Spirit in the Bible in Galatians 5, anxiety is not one of them. It's not there. It's not love, joy, peace, anxiety. God doesn't put it there. But it's a natural byproduct of us as humans not really getting what we want or trying to put something else in the place that only God is supposed to be. And so until we get into a place in our life where we recognize that he is our peace, that anxiety is going to be the one thing that controls you and rules you in your life. Now, it's not to say that you're not going to deal with this because the Bible is very clear on this. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts, Christ Jesus. And so what he's saying there is a peace that transcends your natural mind and what you can comprehend of what peace is. It's supernatural. It'll guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That means in chaos, it'll guard you from losing your mind. So one thing about God is that God is not chaotic, but God can move in chaos. God is at peace at all times. Nothing rattles him. He doesn't change. But he knows that as kids, we have a tendency to get tossed back and forth because anxiety begins to take the place of peace in our life. And if you haven't already found that out, are those the two things that are at war against you at all times? Whether or not you are going to walk in the peace of God or whether or not you're going to let anxiety rule. And those are the two things that are battling out inside of you right now. In the midst of my circumstances and my situation, is peace going to be my guard or am I going to let anxiety in? You do have a choice. Do you have a choice? It is part of life. When people are killing each other to get the $399 65-inch TV at Walmart, you can be at peace to know that I can enjoy what I have at my house, and then in due time, if God blesses me, maybe I'll get it. You see, there's a difference in the way the world looks at it and the way Christians look at it. You know, we could be at peace even though we don't have the things that we want yet. We could be at peace even though we're not seeing the things change in our life that we think need to change. And so the Bible calls that long suffering. We can long suffer. We can be in that season where we're just being patient, but still be at peace. Because we have the Prince of Peace. He's not a kid. He's a prince. And so he rules over it all. And so you serve a God right now whose earth is his footstool. And nothing happens without him knowing or without him allowing it. And so until you can connect with that idea of who God is as the Prince of Peace, anxiety will always try to get in and take that place. You see, God knows what you need when you need it. And if you don't have it, God knows about it. God understands and knows your need before you even know even sometimes what you think your need is. And so what he does every single day is that he provides for our needs. The Bible says that for all our needs. And so as Christians, our mindset should be, Lord, if I have what I have now, it means you want me to have it now. And if I don't have it, it's okay because I know that you have a bigger plan for me. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't want to give it to you. Sometimes in life we think that, well, God is trying to withhold things from me and he doesn't want to give things from me. But no, God's such a good God that he'll withhold what you think you need now temporarily because he knows in the long run what you need to succeed. God would rather you be better than get bigger in your life. We're always trying to expand and we're always trying to make our name known, but God is more interested in, are you getting better along the way? Because if you're not getting better, it doesn't matter if I bless you with influence and notoriety, that would kill you because you don't have character. So we want success, and God wants to bless us with success. Absolutely. The Bible says that he wants to give us success. He'll make our way prosperous. But he understands what that looks like for you. So anxiety, while it's part of life, you don't have to allow it to rule you. But at the same time, you know that you have a good father who has your life where it needs to be and is taking you into where he wants you to be in his timing. You see, I think that's why sometimes people get misconstrued about this idea of prayer. They think, well, if I just pray to God, he's going to do it. Well, that means that God is like Santa Claus, and God's not Santa Claus. The Bible says I can make my requests known to God, right? But the peace that passes all understanding will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That means that while I'm in the waiting for it, that peace is going to guard me until I get it. Or until God rearranges it in some other way, he brings me into it. Prayer is not for God. Do you know who it's for? It's for you. Because you need to calm and relax. Do you know what prayer is? Prayer says, I am deferring to someone who knows better than I do. I request and I'm giving my life over to him. Because he knows what's best for me. And so when I begin to do that, what happens to me is that I can be at peace to know that in due time, it'll happen. And even if it doesn't happen, I could still be good. You see, many times people are waiting for God to do things in their life. And, well, God, if you change it, then I'll change. You have it wrong. God says, no, listen. I want you to change regardless if I change it. Because in reality, it's not about you just getting the thing, because you know as well as I do, once you get something new in your life, you have a tendency sometimes to ruin it. And so what I do is that I'm all about the gift. And listen, every good and perfect gift comes from me. I don't change. There's no shifting in me. And I want to give you gifts. But I know just as a kid, you have a tendency not to appreciate the gift that I like to give you. And so in the meantime, I like to change you so that the next time I bring the gift into your life, you'll really appreciate it. How many of you have done that with a new car? You had an old car falling apart. Things weren't working right. You felt like the car was going to break when you were driving it. You're like, I can't believe this thing is being held together. And you got the new car, and you were so appreciative of it. Every day, you're vacuuming out the seats. You thank God that the windows work. You're excited about the air conditioning, that it's actually on and doesn't make a weird noise when it comes out. You actually have an up-to-date system in there. You're not using a cassette player anymore. You have Bluetooth, and so it syncs with your iPhone, and you can just listen to music and control the volume on your wheel. And you're like, this is great. And you're excited about it. You're appreciative of it because, man, you knew what you came from. And you're taking care of that baby. Someone, there's dirt on it. You're like, what, how'd that get there? And you're really excited about it. You're like, listen, like zealous. You become like a car zealot. You're like, kid, don't mess this car up. Because you know where we came from and what God gave us. Listen, take your feet off the dash. Sit back on the seat. Look straight ahead. Don't say anything. Actually, you know what? Be quiet the whole way. I don't want any spit, no breath, nothing coming against the window. Nothing. Songs and be happy. Because you know what it took to get you there. And so it's amazing of where you came from and where God brings you, how it changes your mentality and your perspective, and you appreciate the gift. And it lets God see that you appreciate where you came from and what he's actually given you. Isn't that what this Christmas season is about? You knew what your life was before Jesus, and now you know how your life is with Jesus, and oh, you appreciate that gift. Some of us take for granted the gift of Jesus in our life. Because you know, as well as I know, that he took you from some rough stuff. And you don't have to rehearse all that stuff, but every once in a while, it's almost like God gives you a glimpse and says, remember that. And God gives you a revelation of how good his grace is in your life and how it's been. And you can't help but praise God because of his goodness. See, that's why this whole idea of this gift is important for you. And that you understand that it's not the gift, and we joke about this before, it is the gift that keeps on giving. And it's that grace of God that continues to cause the change in your life so that you can continue to receive what God has for you in your life. The Bible says that he put grace in place of grace. Do you know that every single day of your life gives you a new start and wipes the slate clean in your life so that you can start again? That's how good God is, not counting your sins against you. Praise the Lord. Think about the goodness of God. The one thing that I've been over the last couple is really begin to understand and grasp this idea of being still and knowing that God is God. Because we're so crazy in our life, and God, life is life. But understanding that in the stillness, God is there. And that he's making it all work out, even without you. Have you ever stopped to think about that? That the world is working without you. And I know it's like this foreign concept because you're like, man, if I am not there, it just doesn't work. Now, you add something to it, correct? Because we all play a part. But God is so good that it's still working while you're not even part of it. While you're asleep at night, the other side of the world is up. And so having that mindset to say, you know what, this Prince of Peace, this gift, and understanding that God doesn't need me, but you know what, he wants me to be a part of this, changes your mindset about the beauty of the gift. Because that means that it's not dependent upon me to get it all done. God's already wrapped it up. I'm just in the process with him of helping him establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven now. And so it causes me less and less anxiety to think that I have to get it figured all out all the time and make it work out the way I want it to make. You know what? It's going to work out either way because God's going to work it out. And the one thing we've talked about over the last couple of weeks is that it continues to move. The show must go on. Life continues. Whether or not you think you need to be a part of it or not, it continues, man. Planes take off and they land. Trains get on the track and they go. People get in their cars and they go. But it's all heading to a point. One day, when we meet Jesus face to face. When you get to see the real gift in person. And that's an exciting thing. Any Polar Express fans here? Any Polar Express fans? You don't have to be. Don't even raise your hand. It's not even a great movie. Anyway, so. But I'm thinking about it now, this whole idea of this kid jumping on the train, then at the end of the movie. Remember, his whole idea wasn't necessarily about what was happening at that point, but he, at the end, you get to see Santa. And that was in itself amazing. But the whole point of that movie was that kid's journey from where he was to see Santa. He was going to see Santa no matter what. You, as a person, the Bible says there's appointed once for a man to die, then the judgment. You will see Jesus no matter what. And so it's about the journey and how you're going to get there. And God is so good that he invites you to be part of this journey and gives you a little bit of his goodness now so that when you meet him, you begin to see what this was all about. And so you don't have to live the way the world lives. Isn't that great? You don't have to live that way. You don't have to. Philippians 4, 12 to 13 says this, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Paul said, listen, it didn't matter. I've had a lot. I've had a little, but I've learned the secret. And guys, it's a secret. And it's not really a secret. But for the Christian, it's reality. Your strength does not come from you. And God does not allow it to be that way. Your strength, Christ. He is the one right now holding you up. He is the one right now giving you the strength to face the things that you need to face. He is the one right now giving you the brain and the wisdom to make the decisions that you need to make in your life right now. He is the one that gets you up. He is the one that lays you down. The Bible says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me. So, as a Christian, you know that no matter what happens in my life, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word can't should not be in your vocabulary. And what's hard? I can't. Well, you can. But what happens is that until we see God showing us that we can, that word still stays there in our life. I can do all things. Now, do you think Paul got there by not making mistakes? You know he made mistakes. Paul had issues. Paul was strong-willed. Paul got on people's nerves. Paul was battling with himself the whole time he wrote. But he learned it. And I think God wants us to get there where we learn it. It doesn't matter. Listen, you haven't had much, it's okay. You don't have what you have right now, you think you need to have, it's okay. You can do it through me. I've given you favor regardless. I'm going to help you stand up until you get what you think you need to get. I'm going to help you through it all. That's the key. So where does that leave us now? God brings us to this point. He says, okay, listen, it's Christmas. There's some great songs written about me. Great songs. A Holy Night, every time it gets me. Every time. Songs are being sung about him and we're focusing on who he is. But the fact still remains that the Prince of Peace came here as a baby for you. Because he knew that in yourself, you cannot save yourself. This is the beauty of the gift. It's the gift. Christmas morning, some of your kids run downstairs, run through the house. It's 6 o'clock. Get up. They've already shaken their presents. They're already trying to figure out what it is. They're all excited about the gift, and they get to the gift, and they finally are getting through it, and they're excited about it. They don't even know what some of the stuff is. And it's great. It's just Christmas. And the whole day is about that. When was the last time you felt that way about Jesus? When you, this time to spend the day with Jesus! I mean, Jesus! You just start doing it that high. You just got there. You just got excited about it because you knew who he is. Knowing that nothing you can do can disappoint him because he already knows. And you're just excited because you get to meet with Jesus one-on-one. One-on-one. Do you know God when he sits up in heaven, and we're about to close, the band can come back up. Do you know when God sits up in heaven, he smiles down at you? He's not looking down at you based upon whether or not you have tip scales in your good behavior and your bad behavior for that day. That God in himself loves you unconditionally and that he never changes. And so you begin to look at God in a different way when you see him that way, to know that no matter what in your life, he does not change, and his thoughts toward you are always for good and for evil. And that he smiles on you. And there's not like some God that's just waiting for us to do something so we can start feeling that nudge and that conviction. You know, God is all about light. God is light. God is love. There's no shadow of turning in him. God is good. And so when he looks at us with only good intentions. Only good. He's for our good. But we have to connect with that side of God. Not the side of God that you think you know about God, but that side of God who is good. God cannot lie. God cannot not be good. It's not in his nature. He is that way. So every day, he bestows good things upon us as part of that gift. He loves us. He's always drawing us into that relationship where we're able to see that he loves us. He loves us. He always is there. And so that should change how you live. Because you want more of that in your life. Don't you want someone like that whispering to you in your ear, whispering to your heart, I love you, I'm for you, I'm not against you, so that you can keep moving in your life? You want that. You don't want the other side that says, you're nobody, you're a loser, you failed again, you'll never amount to anything. That side is there too. But listen, that other side should be the side that encourages you to keep moving on in your life. There's always two voices. Follow the light. Open the gift. Know that I love you. I'm for you. I will never forsake you. Never forsake you. I think some of us need to hear that tonight. I will never forsake you. Man, I want to bring you into such good things in your life right now. You can't even fathom it. You can't even fathom it. You can't even fathom it because you're so locked up in your own mind right now. But I'm telling you, if you allow me just to get in, I'll change that mindset, I'll change the way you believe, and I'll bring you up into new places and new heights that you have not seen before. If you just believe. Believe. I know it's like childlike, right? We're excited around this holidays because our kids, they're in this sense of just excitement because we've got elves hanging off trees and we're playing games with our kids and they're excited about Christmas movies. And like a little child, God says, well, you just believe. Like your kids do. I am that way all the time. I want to show you things about me all the time. Let me all stand up to our feet. I am not who you think I am. I think sometimes God would say that to us. I'm not who you think I am. I want to know you in a more intimate way. And the things that you've been praying for and the things that you've been seeking me about, those are the things that I want to fellowship with you about. Those are the things I want to bring into your life. Who do you think deposited some of those things into your heart in the first place? It's me. I actually do want to do the things that I say in your life. I don't just blow smoke. I am who I say I am. And I think this year, as we go into this year, I think God would get us to that point in our life where we actually begin to believe that I am who I say that I am. I am. And I will do what I say I will do. And the enemy does everything he can to distract you from that because he knows once you get a taste of it, there's no going back to the old way of thinking in your life. No going back. No going back. Father, I thank you for every person in here tonight. God, those who have come in with just heavy burdens, God, those that have come in with just erratic thought processes. Things, God, that are not even of you. But Lord, we bring those things up ourselves, and we have a perspective of you that isn't right all the time. God, I pray that you would help people see through the lies, know that you are real, know that the gift is worth opening, and that you are who you say you are, and that what you believe about us is true. And God, I pray that those things in our life that are holding us back from that intimacy and from that next step of faith in our life would begin to break apart. And God, that you would be in circumstances and situations, and that you would become, and that being with you, fellowshipping with you would become such a reality and a part that we couldn't do without it. God, because we know that you have dreams and there are things that you put inside of our hearts that you want to see come out. And God, I pray that those things that are stopping those things from coming out, Lord, that you would rid us of those things. Help us to see you, God, in a new way.